Hi, I'm Peyton Jones, and today we'll be continuing our journey through the Word in Judges chapter 16. Say what you want about Samson, but he had bad taste in women. Here we see him with a prostitute who's paid off to betray him and sells him out repeatedly. And sell him out. Of course, as a side note, Jesus was followed by quite a few prostitutes simply because he saw them as human beings and not as lost causes. In his eyes, nobody was beyond hope. But Samson, he hadn't learned to see people like Jesus, but instead saw people for what he could get from them. The reality is that in this passage, Samson's weakness of allowing his will and his desires to drive him rather than his God-given strength leads him to the house of a prostitute for bad reasons. When they sought to kill him in the morning, Samson got up in the middle of the night and carried the city gates on his back and carried them up a hill. Now, here's the thing. Standing in the British Library today, and I know because I've seen him with my own eyes, are the city gates of Balawat. From the Neo-Assyrian era, from about 858 BC, a few hundred years after Samson, these things are 20 feet high and were the doors of a temple. But the city gates would have been taller, thicker, and heavier. They are believed to have weighed about 4 tons. And you only have to stand underneath the gates of Balawat to understand how freaking huge these things are. The iron bindings or bronze binding hinges would wrap around logs, and the bindings that we find on city gates around those areas, because they were made of metal, and although the wood is busted up, the metal remains, those bindings tell us the circumference of the logs, and the number of them we find in one area helps us gauge the height of the gates themselves. Now, this would have been quite a feat. And by carrying them up the hill, he made it so that they'd have to take it completely apart, thereby destroying the gate to get it back to the city. It was a way of leaving a very strong message. Those Philistines would have woken in the morning, gone to get Samson, because remember, he was being betrayed, and on the way, realized as they looked to the left, hey, our gates are missing. They would have scratched their heads and wondered how in the heck those things got moved. I mean, this was impossible. It'd be like an entire shopping mall disappearing overnight during our time. But verse 4 is where it all goes south. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you what the secret of his great strength is and how we can overpower him so we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver." Now that was a lot of money. So Delilah said to Samson, verse 6, "Tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued." And Samson answered her, "If anyone ties me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man." Now, that was really strong, by the way. Verse 8 says, "Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she tied him with them. But with the men hidden in the room, she called to him, 'Samson, the Philistines are on you.' But he snapped the bowstrings as easy as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered." Now you might wonder why Delilah was calling out. Well, she had to keep up a good front in case he was lying. So verse 10 tells us, "Then Delilah said to Samson, 'You have made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now, tell me how you can be tied.' He said, 'If anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll be weak as any other man.' So Delilah took new ropes and tied them with him. Then with men hidden in the room, she called to him, 'Samson, the Philistines are upon you.' But he snapped the ropes off his arms as if they were threads. Delilah then said to Samson, 'All this time you've been making a fool of me and lying to me. Tell me how you can be tied.' And this is where he does it. He replied, 'If you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric of the loom and tighten it with the pin, I'll become as weak as any other man.' So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his head, wove them into the fabric, and tightened it with a pin. Again she called, 'Samson, the Philistines are upon you.' He awoke from his sleep, pulled the pin and the loom with the fabric. Then she said to him, 'How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the 3rd time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength.' With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. So, he told her everything. No razor has been used on my head, he said, because I have been a Nazarite dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man. Now, keep in mind that up until this point, these men are hiding in the room. They haven't jumped out of the closets or from under the bed. They just stay put to see if he can burst the bonds. So this is why he finally tells her. He thinks she just wants to know, like often our girlfriends or wives want to know the deep innermost secrets of our heart, not realizing that we're actually pretty shallow as men. But here Samson had a deep secret, and he finally divulges to her everything. Verse 18, when Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines. Come back once more. He's told me everything. So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. And after putting him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair. And so began to subdue him. And his strength left him. Now, interestingly enough, these braids were probably dreadlocks. Probably not braids like you and I think of, but dreads. I like a dreaded Samson. That seems pretty cool. But now here's the deal. They don't kill Samson when they capture him. No, he's too notorious a criminal for that. So what they do is they hook him up, who was once mighty and strong, and oh, how the mighty fall. They hook him up to an ox goad, and they put him on a mill, which means he takes a millstone, and he walks in a circle for the rest of his life, blind with his eyes put out so he can never kill anyone again, and shorn of all of his hair. And unfortunately for them, when they have parties, they like to bring Samson out and point and laugh. But they didn't keep a barber on him. So when he's invited to the feast of Dagon, a pagan deity, the Bible tells us that Samson's hair has in fact grown back. And so Samson asks one of the slave boys to put him next to the 2 big stone pillars that hold the temple's foundation. Then the Bible tells us that Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my 2 eyes." Hey, 2 eyes, 2 pillars. Seems fair. Samson knows that he's going to give his life as a sacrifice to free his people. And there we see another similarity between him and Jesus. He becomes a sacrificial savior. But what's probably most beautiful about this story is Samson does become a model of grace. You see, Hebrews said that he had faith, and he shows faith here in the purpose and calling of God to take out those Philistines one last time. At the very end of his life, we see it in full swing. He finally wants to do what God has called him to. He wants to fulfill his calling if it's not too late, and he does because it's not. Samson could have chosen to have lived longer and prolonged his own life, a life of regret and misery, or he could choose to go out fighting. You see, after all, Samson was born to fight, and he wanted to fight the good fight and sacrifice himself to the end. As heroic as this was, it was even more heroic what Jesus did for us, who sacrificed himself for us and took on our enemies, our shame, guilt, and sin, and fulfilled the calling that his father placed upon his life. So read Judges chapter 16 today, and as you do, praise God for the Savior that sacrificed himself.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.